Hare Krishna. Thank you all very much for being here in time. See what a difference it makes. Yesterday I reminded you and you acted on that reminder. I believe the prasad was earlier today. So everybody took prasad? Did anybody have to skip prasad? Did you skip? Oh, okay. So we'll provide double prasad for you after the... No, you didn't. Okay. So yesterday was the first day of the seminar, 4-day long seminar. And yesterday we discussed about the meaning of the term founder acharya, and then we went into discussing about the importance of an institution, a spiritual institution, in order to effectively spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world and sustain the spiritual life of the participants. To spread Krishna consciousness effectively all over the world, we need an institution. Without an institution, it won't be possible. And that one very vivid example is there, right in front of our eyes, is the condition of Gaudiya Math. After Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, first of all, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave a structure, made an institution, and he reminded his disciples, leading disciples, to continue the institution collectively, managing it through a governing body. But when they failed to follow that instruction, the institution disintegrated. And when the institution disintegrated, although the individual members are able to maintain their spiritual life, but they haven't been able to effectively preach the mission of Krishna consciousness. We see the wonderful mission that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur established, and the way he was spreading Krishna consciousness during his time throughout India, and his plan was to spread the mission outside of India, and he had a very dynamic vision and a very enthusiastic push. But unfortunately all that disintegrated after his disappearance, and they haven't been able to continue the preaching mission that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur established. And then when Srila Prabhupada went to the West, and he decided to, and he set up his preaching program, then we notice that one of the first things Prabhupada did is establish an institution. And that institution is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Prabhupada had that vision that this institution is not just a local, small-time thing, but it is an international institution. Although Srila Prabhupada started in a very humble way, a small little storefront in 26 Second Avenue in downtown New York, and Prabhupada had just a handful of young boys and girls coming to him. But even at that time, Prabhupada had the vision, and therefore he established an institution which was meant to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And then we saw that Prabhupada did that. And we also noticed that Prabhupada was so successful in his preaching mission because of the institution. He was sending his disciples, many of them were just few months in the movement, and they were going out and opening Krishna conscious centers and temples, making devotees. How could they do that? Because they had the backing of the institution. Individually, if they went and tried to start something, could they succeed? No. But because the backing was there, and especially they were being empowered by Srila Prabhupada, they could so effectively, so successfully establish Krishna consciousness within such a short time. And it is actually with the help of his young disciple that Srila Prabhupada started to spread this Krishna consciousness movement. Srila Prabhupada knew, and Prabhupada often mentioned, that single-handedly he couldn't do that. And he thanked his spiritual master for sending all these young boys and girls to help him. And Prabhupada was extremely grateful to all of them. Once during Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's Vyas Puja, Srila Prabhupada was speaking how his spiritual master sent all these young boys and girls to assist him. Prabhupada always remained grateful to his spiritual master and recognized that it was he who was actually helping him to spread Krishna consciousness. And while speaking that, Srila Prabhupada broke down. Prabhupada broke down crying. So deep was his gratitude towards his spiritual master's help. As a devotee, Srila Prabhupada knew that it is not one man's job. It was not even he who was so wonderfully empowered by Krishna. Even he could not do that. He needed the support of all these devotees. This massive responsibility of spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world must be a collective endeavor. And for this collective endeavor, we need an institution. And when we say, and for the successful continuity of that institution, we need the head of the institution and the structure of the institution. So these are the two most important factors. Sometimes some people claim, some individuals who have left ISKCON and gone away and started something themselves, they sometimes claim that they are actually the real ISKCON. The real ISKCON is where they are. This ISKCON is dead, according to them. But I tell them the definition of ISKCON. What is ISKCON? Where is real ISKCON? Where do you find the real ISKCON? The real ISKCON is where Srila Prabhupada is the founder acharya and the GBC is the ultimate managing authority. That is ISKCON. So if you can start an organization where Srila Prabhupada is the founder acharya and that institution is maintained by a GBC, then only you can claim that your institution is ISKCON. So just from that, this definition, we can understand what is real ISKCON. Real ISKCON is where Srila Prabhupada is the ultimate spiritual head. And this institution is managed, maintained by a collective body of GBC, Governing Body Commission. And this is why, in spite of Srila Prabhupada's disappearance from this planet, although Srila Prabhupada left this planet about 25 years ago, still this institution is going strong. Once a very eminent industrialist, he's a very important, very big personality, very well-known personality. He once told me that he is amazed the structure that Srila Prabhupada created. And he mentioned that generally the spiritual institutions disintegrate very soon after the disappearance of its founder. Like we can see what happened to Rajneesh. After Rajneesh left, while he was here, he had a thriving institution. But what happened to the institution after he left? What happened to so many other spiritual institutions that were there? But ISKCON, even after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, is still going strong. And he mentioned it is because Prabhupada did not appoint one person as the head of the institution. Prabhupada created a governing body. And although there are many attacks and many difficulties and crises in this movement, in last 25 years, the movement has seen many, many crises. But still, the movement is there. And not only is there, but this movement is flourishing, expanding, becoming stronger. Why? Because of the structure that Srila Prabhupada gave, a body of collective managers. And he also explained it's because if an individual, generally, if you have a head of a structure, and if that individual have difficulties, then the structure will be affected. If there's one person on whom the structure is resting, and if that person falls down, then the whole structure will collapse. But when there is a collective body, it's not depending upon the individual. It is actually depending upon the body that is consisting of individuals. So the body is actually the important consideration, not the individuals. And the individuals may come and go, but the body will stay. The members of this body may have spiritual difficulties and they will be taken care of, or some individuals may even go away. But the concept will not be affected. We have seen, many individuals after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance had spiritual difficulties. But the GBC didn't become affected. The GBC is intact, and no one is actually, of course, people may have lost their respect to the GBC, for the GBC to some extent because of various reasons. That happens, and that is unavoidable, I would say. But the GBC body is there and it is functioning, and when you come in close contact to the GBC and see how they're functioning, how sincerely they're endeavoring to keep this movement together, then you will see that this is a very, very powerful movement. And this body consists of some very, very sincere individuals. They may not be perfect, but at least they're aspiring for perfection. So Anyway, this was the theme of our discussion yesterday. Now today we will discuss about Srila Prabhupada's special position as a personality. That means Srila Prabhupada's greatness. Who is Srila Prabhupada? Now if we want to consider who is Srila Prabhupada or how great is Srila Prabhupada, then we have to see Srila Prabhupada's achievements. How do we recognize a great personality? Think of a great personality, even in the mundane platform. Who will you think of? Okay, the person that immediately comes to my mind is Alexander the Great. Right? Why Alexander is great? Because as a king, as a warrior, he achieved something very, very remarkable. That's why they call him Alexander the Great. Right? So a great personality, his greatness lies in his achievement. Of course, nowadays the scenario has changed. Now people don't become great by their achievements, but they become great by popular vote. And who gets the most maximum number of votes? One who can lie the most. So that is the condition, or that is the state of affairs in demon crazy society. So therefore we see nowadays we don't come across any great personality in the mundane sphere. People become great by their popularity, either by vote or by some other means. There are these movie stars, they become popular, they become great. Everybody knows him around the world. Or football player. Or pop stars. So this is how the society degraded in the age of Kali. But even few decades before, the condition of this world was quite different. If we look at America, then we can see there are some very great personalities like Abraham Lincoln. He was great with his own brilliance of character, a brilliant personality. But in today's political scene, who do we find? One of our devotees once wrote a song when Carter, who was a peanut farmer, he wrote a song saying, what is happening to American political scene? Now the peanut farmer has become the leader of the nation, and next one probably will be a movie star. And true enough, the next American president was a movie star. And then we can see one of the recent U.S. presidents had implicated in such a nasty scandal. The point actually is that a personality is recognized by his greatness. His greatness lies in his achievement. Now when you look at Srila Prabhupada, just let's look at his achievements. A person comes practically without any resources and any patronage to the United States, a 70-year-old man. And his mission, his dream is to establish Krishna consciousness, because his spiritual master wanted him to do that. And if we look back to Prabhupada's life, then you can see another brilliant character that shines forth in him is that at the age of 26, he meets a spiritual master. At that time, he was a householder, he was a married man, he had a very nice job, he had even a son, he was the father of one son, and Prabhupada just gives up everything because of his spiritual master's instruction. His spiritual master, just in his first meeting, he told him, you take up the responsibility to spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world. Prabhupada didn't consider whether it was possible or not. Prabhupada just takes up that instruction as his life and soul. And from then onwards, Prabhupada's life was simply focused on this instruction. A 26-year-old householder with a responsibility to maintain his wife and child gives up his job. He gives up all the security that he needed. And he starts a business. And Prabhupada wanted to run a business because he thought that when he runs a business, he'll have a lot of, his time will be his time. And he can utilize his time to spread Krishna consciousness. And he can make the money that he will need to go to the West and spread Krishna consciousness. And from that time onwards, Prabhupada's life was a continuous struggle to fulfill that mission of his spiritual master. Now, how many individuals we come across in this world with this kind of conviction and determination and dedication? So it is not that all of a sudden Prabhupada just came to America and just by fluke Prabhupada achieved something. Rather, behind that we see Srila Prabhupada's whole life, as Satsarup Maharaj very aptly put it, a lifetime of preparation. Srila Prabhupada's entire life was a preparation to spread Krishna consciousness. And then at the age of 70, he goes to the West. As a 70-year-old man, a Vaishnava, he left his comfortable situation in Vrindavan. And he goes alone to America, where he didn't even know what he was going to eat. And still he did not, he was not afraid, he was not worried, he was not discouraged. He just went to America and started his mission. And you can well imagine what a big struggle it was for first 1 or 2 years. He didn't have any place to stay. In New York City, Prabhupada was just a guest in a Mayavadi's ashram. Now, anybody can understand how painful it is for a Vaishnava of Srila Prabhupada's stature to compromise with a Mayavadi and stay with him. Of course, I won't say compromise, Prabhupada didn't compromise. Prabhupada was smashing him time and time again. And it was unpleasant. In one hand, they were friends. In one hand, that gentleman was very generous towards Srila Prabhupada and allowed him to come and stay with him. But Prabhupada was smashing him, that your Siddhanta is wrong. What you are saying is not right. And he became afraid when he saw that Prabhupada was gaining such popularity among his students. And in a very polite way, he one day asked Prabhupada to leave. And then Prabhupada starts sharing an apartment with a young hippie, who, by Prabhupada's influence, was becoming rectified or becoming civilized or becoming normal. But then he again went back to his bad habits of drugs, LSD. And then he freaks out. He becomes crazy. on LSD trip. And then he attacked Srila Prabhupada. I mean, can you imagine a 70-year-old man going through all these difficulties? And then we see Srila Prabhupada approaching these young Americans. Also, another interesting thing to note is that Srila Prabhupada first tried to preach to dignified, uptown New Yorkers, like high-class, well-established New Yorkers. And Prabhupada started to go down, finally he ends up in Bowery. I mean, the worst part of New York City. And then he opens his small little center, the first ISKCON temple in 26 Second Avenue. And who were coming, who were Prabhupada's clients there? The young hippies, who are wild. But Srila Prabhupada found his candidates among them. They are the ones who actually responded. Now, we can also notice one thing, another factor signifying Srila Prabhupada's greatness is that anyone who is aware of the hippie culture at that time knows well that there was a tremendous generation gap. Like, anyone above 30 was from another world at that time. Suresha Prabhu, do you agree with that? Yeah. Like, it was, they are straight. They are from another world. They had nothing to do with those people. Anyone above 30. Because this generation was, say, 25 and below. But here comes Srila Prabhupada, a 70-year-old man, an Indian, and a Vaishnava, a spiritualist. I mean, they had an incredible difference with the people, those who are leading a normal life. They would call them straight. Now look at Srila Prabhupada. He is a person who is a pure vegetarian, who doesn't take any intoxication, who is completely against illicit sex. Now, they have nothing in common. Srila Prabhupada or these hippies of the young Americans at that time didn't have anything in common with Srila Prabhupada. But when they came in contact with Srila Prabhupada, what happened? They became completely transformed. Why? Because they found something in Prabhupada that attracted them so much that they didn't hesitate to offer themselves completely at his lotus feet. Now, doesn't that indicate Srila Prabhupada's greatness? Now, how many 70-year-old person would be able to affect these young individuals like that? And then we find that Srila Prabhupada is spreading Krishna consciousness. We find initially Srila Prabhupada was not very firm in his presentation. Prabhupada was quite flexible. Prabhupada was quite flexible. But then Prabhupada is becoming stricter and stricter. Those days, the young Americans, they would live together and that was their accepted norm. Srila Prabhupada didn't say anything. Okay, you're a boyfriend, girlfriend, fine, you know, you're accepting Krishna consciousness, come, chant Hare Krishna. But then Prabhupada tells, it's not right for a boy and a girl to live together. You should get married. And in this way, Prabhupada is establishing the standard of Krishna consciousness without making any compromise. Although Prabhupada actually attracted a wild bunch, but Srila Prabhupada created pure Vaishnavas out of them. And that's the greatness of Srila Prabhupada. And then we see Srila Prabhupada, another greatness is that Srila Prabhupada was dealing with some very, very powerful individuals. Very powerful individuals, like in the early days, those who came forward in helping Srila Prabhupada, many of them were very, very powerful individuals. But here Srila Prabhupada, a 70-year-old Indian gentleman, is dealing with them with absolute authority. And they are completely, no matter how powerful they were, they all were absolutely surrendered to Srila Prabhupada. And whenever they made a mistake, Srila Prabhupada would blast them. And they would accept Srila Prabhupada's chastisement in such a way that in normal condition, no one would believe that they could behave like that. Like when Prabhupada would chastise them, they would not only accept them, but they would become so much affected. Say for example, when Prabhupada would chastise somebody, he would start to tremble. Can you imagine, a young, independent, American is trembling being chastised by Srila Prabhupada? Those who are not afraid to face any situation, they who didn't care about their family, their parents, their relatives, their father's bank account, they didn't care for anything. In front of Srila Prabhupada, they're just like a bunch of young kids. To give an example, how powerful or how heavy Srila Prabhupada was, once in Los Angeles, the two leaders made a very big mistake. They made a blunder. And Srila Prabhupada came to Los Angeles and Srila Prabhupada called them in his room, and Prabhupada just blasted them for 15-20 minutes. And then Prabhupada said, "Now you can go." But they couldn't go, because they couldn't get up. They became stupefied by being chastised so heavily by Srila Prabhupada. Then Prabhupada screamed, "You get out of here." And then they walked out of the room on four legs, on their hands and knees. They didn't have the strength to stand up and walk. That's how heavy Srila Prabhupada was. And these young boys and girls accepted this heaviness. That shows how much love and how much surrender they had for Srila Prabhupada. Now, why does one develop this kind of attitude towards somebody? Because of their love. And how does one develop such a love for someone like him? Because of the greatness of that personality. Then the real greatness of Srila Prabhupada comes in or becomes manifest in the way Srila Prabhupada spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Is there any precedence or is there any record in the history of propagation of a spiritual movement to that extent in such a short span of time? Can anybody think of any? Now, let us consider, 500 years back, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu makes a prediction that this Krishna consciousness movement would spread in every town and village all over the world. Now, is that statement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu real or is just some sort of poetic exaggeration? No, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prediction is real. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that this will happen, and it happened through Srila Prabhupada. Now, doesn't it indicate Srila Prabhupada's greatness? The real greatness of Srila Prabhupada is Srila Prabhupada has been empowered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, can you imagine what kind of greatness it is when one becomes empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Now, let's try to analyze this expression, empowerment. What it actually means. Say, for example, a billionaire tells you that you can represent me and I am assigning you with this responsibility and go out and do it. Whatever is needed, just don't worry. I am behind you. Can you imagine what kind of power that person will have? That means he has the backing of $1 billion behind him. Isn't it? On his own, probably he is not able to do anything. But when a billionaire assigns him with a responsibility and tells him or empowers him that go ahead and do it for me. Right? So that means all that resources that this man has is behind him. Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that Krishna consciousness movement would spread all over the world, and then Srila Prabhupada comes and makes it happen. Then can you imagine what kind of empowerment he had when the Supreme Personality of Godhead is actually empowering him? That means the potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is behind him. Srila Prabhupada often used to say also that people talk about miracles. People talk about miracles. They're so excited about miracles. Somebody produced some ash, and he is considered to be a big personality, spiritual personality. And what to speak of when he produces some cash? And these are the people, those who are recognized as big spiritual personalities, because they can produce some cash or some ash. But Srila Prabhupada used to say that let them match what I have done. I made devotees of Krishna all over the world. The young boys and girls from the West who are addicted to so many bad habits, they have given up all their bad habits and they have become completely engaged in serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now this is the biggest miracle. What does miracle mean? An unusual act. And how this unusual act was possible? Because Srila Prabhupada was empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself mentioned that Krishna Shakti Binana Hetar Pravartan, that Krishna consciousness movement cannot... Consciousness was spreading in an inconceivable way. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go, stay in somebody's house, some brahmana's house, and that person, that brahmin in whose house Mahaprabhu would stay, that brahmin would become empowered and become a pure devotee. The people who would come to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will become empowered and they will become pure devotees. Now when they would go back to their respective places, the people who would come and see them, they would become empowered and become pure devotees. So this is how Krishna consciousness was spreading during Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time. And there it has been mentioned that Krishna consciousness movement can spread in this way only by being empowered by Krishna. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that this empowerment takes place through two potencies of Krishna, Ladini Shakti and Sandhini Shakti, the eternity and pleasure potency. These are the two potencies that empowers one to become a pure devotee of the Lord. They become so absorbed in thinking about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They become completely linked up with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the potency of the Lord flows through them. And as a result of that, whoever comes in contact with that personality becomes spiritualized. Now, didn't that happen when Srila Prabhupada was here? Whoever came in contact with Srila Prabhupada became a devotee. Whoever accepted Srila Prabhupada's teachings became purified. Now, there have been many individuals who have been empowered by Krishna and spread Krishna consciousness, but where is an example of anyone spreading Krishna consciousness the way Srila Prabhupada did? Within the short span of 10 years' time, spreading this movement all over the world. Where is such an example? And so we have to understand that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifically sent Srila Prabhupada to fulfill his prediction. Now, Srila Prabhupada knew that he won't be here for very long, and Prabhupada saw the need of continuity of this movement. And therefore Srila Prabhupada established this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And Prabhupada structured this movement in such a way that it would effectively spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world for a long period of time, for thousands of years to come. Of course, now it's up to us, the members of ISKCON, to hold this society together. It's up to us whether we will protect the society or whether we'll destroy the society. It's up to us. But obviously, we don't want to destroy. The sincere devotees want to protect this movement and want the Krishna consciousness to spread throughout the world effectively through this movement. So, Srila Prabhupada created ISKCON, and although Srila Prabhupada disappeared from this planet, Srila Prabhupada is still present through this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Now let us consider the purpose or meaning of this statement. A spiritual master is present in two ways. Through his vapu, through his physical form, and through his vani, through his instructions. Now, Srila Prabhupada knew that he won't be here for very long. And we saw Prabhupada stayed only up to 1977. He went to America in 65, and in 77 November he left the planet. He established ISKCON in 66. Prabhupada was here only for about 11 years, propagating Krishna consciousness personally. But then Srila Prabhupada organized this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and it is through this institution that this movement is going to go on. And Srila Prabhupada wanted that we recognize his presence through this institution of ISKCON. There are instances when Srila Prabhupada mentioned that ISKCON is his body. And if we even consider Prabhupada's vani For that we can see Prabhupada has given the books. The books are there. Srila Prabhupada is present in his books. And it is on the foundation of this book that this institution is established. So in this way, through his books and through this institution of ISKCON, that Srila Prabhupada is still present. But it is important for us that we recognize Srila Prabhupada's presence through this arrangement that his divine grace has made. Can somebody get me some water? That his divine grace has made. So we can consider that after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, I used to see that many devotees used to lament that if I joined 1 year earlier, I could have met Srila Prabhupada. If I joined 3 years earlier, I could have met Srila Prabhupada. If I joined 10 years earlier, I could have met Srila Prabhupada. If I joined 20 years earlier, I could have met Srila Prabhupada. So we can see that when one joins the movement, he develops a very deep desire to be connected to Srila Prabhupada, to have some link with Srila Prabhupada. And of course, on our part, we tell them that Prabhupada is still here. It doesn't matter that you didn't meet Srila Prabhupada in person. It doesn't matter that you haven't been initiated by Srila Prabhupada. But Srila Prabhupada is still here through his Vani, through his institution of ISKCON. Mold your life according to Srila Prabhupada's instructions. Serve this society of International Society for Krishna Consciousness and you will associate with Srila Prabhupada. And it is our responsibility, therefore, in this way, to reassure these devotees who joined after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance that they have a link with Srila Prabhupada. And that link is that Srila Prabhupada is the founder acharya of this institution. The link is that Srila Prabhupada is the preeminent Shiksha Guru of all the devotees of ISKCON for all time. Now personally they may not meet Srila Prabhupada, personally many of you may not meet Srila Prabhupada, but you are connected to Srila Prabhupada. You have all the opportunities to be connected with Srila Prabhupada. And that is why, that is the prerogative that you have as a member of ISKCON. That is the good fortune that you have acquired by joining ISKCON. And that is the meaning of Srila Prabhupada's position as the preeminent Shiksha Guru of this movement. That's the meaning of Srila Prabhupada being the founder acharya of this movement. Now the question arises, then what is my link with my spiritual master, both Shiksha and Diksha Gurus? The answer to that is the Shiksha Gurus and Diksha Gurus and Shiksha Gurus of ISKCON have the responsibility to connect the individuals or connect their disciples to Srila Prabhupada, the founder acharya. And this is how the link is actually established. So I don't want to go into the details of that. I presume that everybody understands that point, and this point is quite clear, because in ISKCON, what we are actually offering in the spiritual dimension, or what spiritual assets we are handing over to our wards, to our students, we are giving them Srila Prabhupada's teachings. Because the foundation of this movement, or foundation of this institution that we belong to, is Prabhupada's books. And all our instructions are actually based on Srila Prabhupada's books. Now, isn't it clear that we are actually giving Srila Prabhupada to those who are coming to us? So, this is how we have to recognize that how we are actually, although we are not in physical contact with Srila Prabhupada, although we were not, we didn't have the opportunity to meet Srila Prabhupada in his Bopu form, but still we have access to Srila Prabhupada. We have the opportunity to be with Srila Prabhupada, to be connected to Srila Prabhupada through Srila Prabhupada's Shiksha, through Srila Prabhupada's teachings. Now when you look at ISKCON, whose teachings is the fundamental criterion for this movement? Although there are many, many, many prominent acharyas in our sampradaya, but whose teachings are preeminent in ISKCON? Although Jiva Goswami is an acharya, Rupa Goswami is a principal acharya, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, they all are there, but we are getting them through Srila Prabhupada, through his books. Now ISKCON is exclusively founded on Srila Prabhupada's teachings. And that is the meaning of Srila Prabhupada's position as the preeminent Shiksha Guru of all the devotees of ISKCON for all time. Because all the devotees of ISKCON will receive their spiritual instructions and guidance through Srila Prabhupada's books. There will be many teachers, there will be many gurus, both Shiksha Gurus and Diksha Gurus, but they all will be giving Srila Prabhupada's teachings. Therefore, they all will be giving Srila Prabhupada. Now, so in this way, through ISKCON, one is still getting Srila Prabhupada being sheltered and guided. Now, I'll tell you a story, a beautiful story, that how Srila Prabhupada is still preaching through books. One godbrother of mine once told me that he was preaching in the Canadian prairies. The Canadian prairies are practically no man's land. Like there is nothing. And he was, somehow he ended up there. I don't know how he ended up there or why he ended up there. But then he found found a log cabin and a couple living in that log cabin. So he knocked at the door and they invited him to come in. And when he went in, he found an altar with Gaur Nithai and Prabhupada's books. And they were chanting and they were practicing Krishna consciousness. So he asked whether they were devotees. He thought they probably they're devotees and they left the temple and now living there. But they admitted that they didn't have any contact with ISKCON directly. But once they received a book of Srila Prabhupada, and they became so much affected by reading that book that at the end of the book they found the addresses of ISKCON centers. And they wrote to Los Angeles and started to communicate with them, and they started to get more and more books and paraphernalia, and eventually they are practicing Krishna consciousness, following the four regulative principles, and they're worshipping Gaur Nithai. Now, isn't it a perfect example of how Srila Prabhupada's books are still preaching? Or Srila Prabhupada is still preaching through his books. Like, by reading his books, individuals are becoming so much affected that they are accepting Krishna consciousness. We can consider here, how many of you joined this movement by reading Srila Prabhupada's books? So there you are. So this is how Srila Prabhupada is still preaching. Okay. Now, Srila Prabhupada's position as the founder Acharya, if we want to put it like in the context like preeminent Shiksha Guru, like we can draw a parallel from Ramanuja Sampradaya. How many of you are aware of Ramanuja Sampradaya? Okay, those who do not know, there are four Vaishnav Sampradayas. How many of you know that there are four Vaishnav Sampradayas? Okay, all of you know mostly. So, these four Sampradayas are known as Brahma, Rudra, Shri and Kumar. Now, Shri Sampradaya is the line that comes from Lakshmi Devi. And which Sampradaya do we belong to? Brahma Sampradaya. That line begins from Lord Brahma. Now, there is another Sampradaya, another line of Vaishnavas that comes down from Lakshmi Devi. That's known as Shri Sampradaya. Now, in the age of Kali, all the teachings of these Sampradayas became affected to the extent of becoming covered over. So in order to revive the teachings of the Sampradaya, some prominent Acharyas came. In Sri Sampradaya, the one brilliant Acharya that came is Ramanujacharya. Similarly, in Brahma Sampradaya, it was Madhvacharya. Then, in Kumar Sampradaya, it was Vishnu Swami. In Kumar Sampradaya, it is Nimbarkacharya. And in Rudra Sampradaya, it's Vishnu Swami. These are the four Acharyas who revived the teachings of their Sampradaya. Now, Ramanujacharya came in the Sri Sampradaya, and he most brilliantly defeated Shankaracharya's Mayavad philosophy and established the Vaishnav Siddhanta. So Ramanujacharya's position in his Sampradaya is so firmly established that he is recognized as the Sampradaya Acharya, or a prominent Acharya in that Sampradaya. And in a way you can say that Ramanujacharya is a founder Acharya of the Ramanuja Sampradaya. Like yesterday as I mentioned, a founder Acharya means one who founds, who establishes a spiritual institution through which the teachings of the Sampradaya flows. So Ramanujacharya did that. Like therefore, still today, although Ramanujacharya appeared about 1,000 years ago, still today this Sampradaya is known as Ramanuja Sampradaya. It is Sri Sampradaya, but it is known as Ramanuja Sampradaya. It has been named after Ramanujacharya. And in Ramanuja Sampradaya, although there are many Acharyas coming in the disciplic succession, but Ramanujacharya's position is established as the founder Acharya. And according to their description, Ramanujacharya has been described as the Uddharak Acharya. Uddhar means to deliver. So Ramanujacharya is the deliverer Acharya. And the other Acharyas in the line of Ramanuja Sampradaya is known as Upakarak Acharya or Benefactor Acharyas. So there are many gurus, many Acharyas, naturally with time there will be, but they all are actually taking their disciples. They have the responsibility as a representative of that Sampradaya or representative of the institution to take their disciples to Ramanujacharya. And Ramanujacharya is considered to be Uddharak Acharya, Deliverer Acharya. And what Ramanujacharya is doing, the gurus are bringing their disciples to Ramanujacharya, and Ramanujacharya is delivering them. That is, he is taking them to Radha Krishna, or Lakshmi Narayan in their case. Now, this point has been very brilliantly and very succinctly described by Srila Narottam Das Thakur through poetry. The translation, I'll just read the translation. It reads, I heard from the saintly persons, that one achieves the lotus feet of the transcendental couple. Who are the transcendental couple? Radha and Krishna. One achieves the lotus feet of the transcendental couple by the mercy of Srila Rupa Goswami. O Sanatan Goswami and all the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please fulfill my desire to receive the mercy of Srila Rupa Goswami. One who takes shelter of his lotus feet is a great soul. When will my Lord Lokanath Goswami, who is his spiritual master, Diksha Guru of Srila Narottam Das Thakur is Lokanath Goswami. So he's saying, when will my Lord Lokanath Goswami take me along with him and offer me at the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami? Now consider, Lokanath Goswami is a pure devotee, an associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he is a disciple of Lokanath Goswami, Narottam Das Thakur. And probably many of you know the story, how Lokanath Goswami took a vow not to give initiation to anybody. And Narottam Das Thakur forced him in such a way, or rather he was so adamantly holding on to this desire to take initiation from Lokanath Goswami, that finally Lokanath Goswami gave him initiation. And he was his only disciple. Now he is saying that although his spiritual master Lokanath Goswami is a liberated soul, an eternal associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he is saying, when will Lokanath Goswami, my spiritual master, take me by my hand and offer me at the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami? So from this we can get a clear understanding of the concept of Uddharak Acharya and Upakarak Acharya. Like Lokanath Goswami, as a Upakarak Acharya, as a benefactor guru, he is taking him to Rupa Goswami, and Rupa Goswami is engaging him or offering him to Radha Krishna. Okay, now this point becomes more clear through another poetry by Srila Rupa Goswami, by Srila Narottam Das Thakur. I will stay fearfully at the back of Sri Rupa Manjari. So when he is taken to Rupa Goswami, then what happens? Who is Rupa Goswami in the spiritual sky in Krishna's pastimes? Rupa Manjari. So he is saying that I will stay fearfully at the back of Sri Rupa Manjari. The transcendental couple will then look at me and say very mercifully with a smile, Rupa, where did you get this new maid servant? Rupa Manjari said, Manjulali brought this maid servant to me. So Lokanath Goswami, Siddha Swarup or spiritual form in Krishna's pastime, is Manjulali. Now he is saying, Manjulali brought this candidate to me, and now I am offering them. her to you. So in the spiritual sky, it is not that surrender to one means disregard to other. Rather, one surrender leads to a greater surrender. And that is the meaning of the disciplic succession. And especially in our context, in the context of ISKCON, like what is the natural flow? Devotees will join this movement. There will be many gurus, not only in this generation. Generation after generations, there will be many, many gurus. Someday, most of you will also become gurus. And then, what the gurus will do? They will take their disciples to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada will engage them in the service of Radha Krishna. So that is the meaning, that real understanding of a founder acharya. Thank you all very much. So I'll invite some questions or comments. Yes.
Question is, Rupa Goswami is only Manjari. There are other gopis, there are other devotees like Swarup Damodara. Why we always make significant Rupa Goswami?
Yeah, mainly because, you see, our line, this line, is the line of Rupanuga Gauriya Vaishnavas. So in this line, Rupa Goswami is the founder acharya, so to say. Therefore, they are all going through Rupa Goswami. Say, for example, Narottam Das Thakur. And you see, in this, okay, let me give you some understanding of the spiritual structure. You see, Krishna and Radha and Krishna are there in the spiritual sky. And then there are prominent gopis and cowherd boys, right? And there are, they have their groups. Like say for example, Lalita Devi has a group. Vishakha has a group. Similarly, Rupa Manjari has a group. And they are known as Juthopati or Jutheshwari. For a female, it is Jutheshwari. So the group leader, you can say. So the group leader, there is one group leader and many members in the group. And they all are rendering service through the group leader. Right? So Rupa Goswami is one, or Rupa Manjari is one such Jutheshwari. And in our case, who is our Juthapati, the group leader? Srila Prabhupada. Okay, by the way, Swarup Damodar also, like, who is Swarup Damodar? Lalita Devi. She also has a group. Actually, Rupa Manjari is subservient to Lalita Devi. Rupa Manjari is a Manjari. Manjari is a young girl. Sakhis are little elderly. Elderly means 15 years old. And Manjaris are little younger. And So, you see, Lalita Devi is, of course, you know, the main, you know, on Krishna's side, she is the main personality, right? And there are other groups. You see, groups have subgroups, right? And subgroups have subgroups. Like that, you know, they are divided. So, now, anyway, going a little deeper topic. When Radha and Krishna have very intimate dealings, then the Sakhis don't stay there. Because Radha Krishna may feel shy. Right? They go away. But the younger girls, because they're young, they stay there and render this very intimate service to Radha Krishna. So that is why Rupa Manjari's position is so special. Hare Krishna.
What is the position of those devotees who took initiation from some spiritual master, disciple of Srila Prabhupada, and then somehow or another his spiritual master has difficulty and he left our society? What is his position? And he didn't took reinitiation from other spiritual master.
Okay. Yeah. So, you see, if we look at it in this context, that the spiritual masters accepted disciples to take them to Srila Prabhupada, then even though they may have spiritual difficulties, the disciples wouldn't be affected because they know that their main shelter is actually Srila Prabhupada. But the trouble starts when the disciples are made to believe that their spiritual master is everything and their whole life, whole spiritual life is resting on their spiritual, initiating spiritual master. And when the initiating spiritual master falls down, they feel that their whole spiritual life is shattered. But if we recognize this concept, you see, that the spiritual master was meant to take them to Srila Prabhupada, then even the spiritual master may have difficulties, but they wouldn't be affected because they'll know, because they know that Srila Prabhupada's shelter is there and there is nothing to be worried about. Right? And we are seeing also the individuals who are faithfully serving Srila Prabhupada in ISKCON, even though their spiritual master fell down, and even though they didn't take reinitiation, they are carrying on fine in their spiritual life. On the other hand, I have seen that those individuals, although the spiritual master is in good standing, but if they leave ISKCON, their spiritual life becomes affected. They fall down. They can't maintain their spiritual life. So the main criteria is whether one is going to be in ISKCON or not. Isn't it? Now, ultimately, that's the consideration. If you stay in ISKCON, your spiritual life is protected. You lose the shelter of ISKCON, your spiritual life is finished. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Often we hear that ISKCON is the body of Prabhupada and BBT is the heart of Prabhupada for the public.
ISKCON is the body of Srila Prabhupada and?
And BBT is the heart of Prabhupada.
I see, yeah.
I like it very much.
Yeah. Yes, you can say that because the transcendental knowledge that comes from Srila Prabhupada's heart is there in his books. Right? So his books are actually carrying the spiritual potency of Srila Prabhupada, spiritual mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Yes, Shureshwar Prabhu.
That story of the Canadian fairies, where they were reading Prabhupada's books and they just became devotees by the book. Someone could take that as evidence that there really is no need for any other guru.
Okay. Yeah, good point. Good point. You see, these are some exceptions, right? But exceptions doesn't become the rule. See, they unfortunately, they didn't have the association of devotees, and by chance they came across Srila Prabhupada's books and they took to Krishna consciousness. But that doesn't mean that when the association of devotees are available, we should not take advantage of it. Right? So when some easier means is available, then isn't it intelligent to take advantage of that easier route? When the easier route is available, why should we take a difficult route? Right? So this is an exceptional case. That doesn't mean that everybody who will read Srila Prabhupada's books will become a devotee of that nature. Right? So the point is that Prabhupada made various arrangements. One of the most effective arrangement is ISKCON and devotees. Right? So when we see the structure of ISKCON, we see devotees, books, temples, all are together. Right? And so that is the general arrangement by Srila Prabhupada. But in some cases we'll see that just by coming in contact with Srila Prabhupada's books, individuals will become devotees.
On the other side, I'm directly initiated by Srila Prabhupada, but I feel I'm very dependent on my senior god brothers and god sisters to help me understand Srila Prabhupada. It's a paradox that Prabhupada directly initiated me.
Yeah.
But I almost feel...
So spiritual life doesn't mean that, you know, if we are initiated by Srila Prabhupada, we all became pure devotees.
Yeah.
Right. So, in spite of a rather initiation, Prabhupada used to say, is the beginning. But then, you know, Prabhupada is providing the arrangement of sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya, etc. Rendering the opportunities to render service, practice sadhana bhakti. So they all are essential for our spiritual advancement. Just initiation alone is not everything. So whether one is initiated by Srila Prabhupada or not, everybody, irrespective of who they are initiated by, must practice the process that Srila Prabhupada gave or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave.
So
it's very, you know, it's very noble of you to admit that in spite of being such an advanced devotee, you need so much the association of devotees.
This is the truth. But so the bottom line is that we have to cooperate in Prabhupada's mission to be really connected to the parampara.
Yeah, right, right.
Regardless of what generation.
Yeah, right. We have to cooperate. We have to work together to push this movement forward. Protect ISKCON. In Prabhupada's own words, a couple of weeks before Prabhupada left the planet, Prabhupada gave a very, very important instruction. Your love for me will be shown. Your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate with each other. So if we love Srila Prabhupada, then we have to express our love for Srila Prabhupada by cooperating with each other.
That seems to be a bottom line qualification, to really be connected.
Bottom line qualification,
to
right.
Krishna.
Right, that's true.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada gave us principles, and we see that at the beginning he was being lenient, and gradually he became more and more strict. The principles were the same, but the details changed. And now sometimes we find controversies between what Srila Prabhupada gave as details and what we want to implement as details, as being a progression, you know, because we are now not so new anymore. So we should progress, we should become more perfect and more culturally developed. And so what is the limit between what we should change in terms of details and what we should keep as Prabhupada's main, you know, desire for us? Or
well, yeah, Prabhupada was lenient in the beginning just to attract them to Krishna consciousness. But when they came to the standard of initiation, then Prabhupada's instruction was very clear and very, very, and it was standard, right? The standard, standard was follow the four regulative principles, chant 16 rounds, read Prabhupada's books, render devotional service, help the propagation of this movement. And so that standard should always be there. Like at no point it will be accepted that now that I am an advanced devotee, I don't need to chant 16 rounds. Right? Now I can chant 4 rounds because I'm so advanced. Right? Rather, it should work the other way around. The more you advance, like Prabhupada used to say, that 16 rounds is the basic minimum. But increase. And the ultimate standard is chant 24 hours a day. Right? That is the ultimate standard. Similarly, follow the four regulative principles. And as we advance, then these four regulative principles becomes more and more defined. And then the final point actually is, you see, in spiritual life, we do not set the standard ourselves. Right? The spiritual master sets the standard. Right? And we will see the standard through the authority of structure of ISKCON. They will establish the standard. Right? They will engage us in our service. And then, if we are in, say, if some are in household life and they are not so closely connected to the temple, then they will guide, they will get the guidance from Srila Prabhupada's books and association of senior devotees. Right? Yes? Somebody give him a microphone. I think I'll correct this point. I didn't say that some devotees had difficulties when Prabhupada left, but what I actually said is that those who joined after Prabhupada's disappearance, they used to yearn, they used to lament that if I joined earlier, then I could have met Srila Prabhupada. That was the thought. And of course, at the same time, I accept the spirit of your question. That yes, some after Prabhupada left the planet, devotees did have difficulties, because Prabhupada's physical presence was not there, Prabhupada's direct guidance was not there, and the example that you are drawing, like Rukmini didn't feel the absence of Krishna. Right? She never missed. Yeah. Right. So we have to understand that her position is very, very advanced. So it's the advanced devotees, they have inherent love and attachment for Krishna. But for a neophyte devotee, you know, personal association and guidance of a great personality helps a lot. Thank you. So, should we continue or should we stop now? Let's see if anybody has any question. Okay. All glory is to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki.